children's lessons and doing announcements and doing different things, and so we can have this church open, and so God can keep using it as a tool and as his vessel to reach people for Christ. So thank you as a church congregation, saying thank you as an elder, but also as a member of this church. So thank you guys. So it's kind of interesting how I got up here, not by walking up the stairs, but it's kind of interesting is that when, as elders, as we're juggling so many different things and going through so many different things, is that we kind of realize that we kind of err, we kind of mess up a little bit sometimes, and we kind of realize that, oops, nobody signed up for this Sunday, and so we had to go through, and I had to figure out what to speak on this Sunday, and which I was happy to do, but so I had to quickly go through my files and find something and polish it off and modify it and a little bit. Ooh, that's loud. But I feel like this still, the running the race, going through Hebrews is still, it still hits us just as much as it did when I preached it before, because as a church, we're still running the race. Individually, we're still running the race, but as a church, we're running the race even more because we have a race we're running to reach people in this community. We're running the race to find a new pastor. We're running a race to stay connected to each other, to be a team, be a congregation. We're running the race together. So I figure this still is vital for us to hear. And we also realize that running a race is a marathon, not a quick sprint. So last month, I had the privilege to volunteer at the middle school track meet. They thought it'd be a good idea to ask me to help out. They thought that I was smart enough and could pay attention enough to watch people cross the line and write down their times or figure out their times. It's way harder than it seems. When you have like 8 people coming across the line and you got to track them. And so there's me and 7 other people doing this. And luckily I realized I was smart enough to realize that I took the 8th person. I didn't. If you took the 3rd, 4th, 5th person, that was a mess. That was like, they was all like within each other. But if you took the 8th person, usually you're like, you knew who the 8th person, the last person was. You knew, that was pretty obvious. The gun would go off, and man, they were like, these kids, man, they were like running hard as they could, and they were racing, and they were going fast, and whether it was a short distance, or man, they had to do laps around the tracks, God bless them, man. I wouldn't want to do it, but they were doing it and jumping over hurdles or whatever it was. And they were they were jumping, and we'd have to, just figure out who it was, lane, whatever, 2, 3, 4, whatever it was. And then we'd have to tell the person, writing down all the information and their track time and 2, 3. We all had stopwatches. And it's kind of funny because sometimes some of us would forget to push it in time, and it was sometimes a mess. But then other times kids would be running, and in some races it would require their name, and sometimes the kids would be running, and then you get over to them, and they'd be like, "What's your name?" "John Smith." "What?" And you'd have to like figure out what their name was, and it was fun. It was fun, but it was kind of crazy. But even nowadays, to back in the biblical times, they They had races. They dealt with races. That's what we're going to talk about today, as Roxanne alluded to, about running the race and running it well. And hopefully we're not the ones gasping for air, but we're running it well. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you, Lord, that that we get to be together as friendship, as a congregation, as a church family. I pray, Lord, that my words be yours. Teach through me, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just show us, Lord, how to run this race well. And guide and direct us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. As is already shown, that our main passage today comes from Hebrews. But before we jump into that, I want to back up and rewind. For those who remember the old VHS, let's push the rewind button. Look at chapter 11. The writer of Hebrews, some people say it was possibly Paul. Others have a different opinion on that, but we're not going to get into the whole dive into that. But this is kind of goes through like a history of the Bible. It's kind of like the Hall of Fame. Think about those of you that like the NFL or Major League Baseball. It's kind of like the Hall of Fame. Think about walking through the halls, and you might see like a little like plaque that might have like Moses on it or David on it or whatever, you know. And, you know, might be walk through and have like a little display of like, you know, Moses' staff or so, type thing. But it was the who's who of the great men and women of faith of the Bible. People mentioned here, the text of the Bible was the all-stars, the greats, the best of the best. You have Noah, Rahab, Abraham, Gideon, Samson, the list goes on and on. And if we read further, it's all their accomplishments. They ran the race. They did amazing stuff for God. Even some of these people, even what's amazing about these people is that they were still used by God, even though they had messed up, they had crazy situations in their life, they were still used by God, and they were still listed in this Hall of Fame, which that's pretty amazing, kind of gives me hope. But this was all due to God's mighty power in their life. They shut mouths of lions. They conquered kingdoms. They escaped the edge of swords. They did all these things that we could dream of. I mean, shoot, this was some movie blockbuster stuff. I mean, some of the stuff has been done in some movies. I mean, you know, made into some movies. Not so great movies, but been made into some movies. So that's chapter 11. But so let's move on to chapter 12. So if we look at chapter 12, 1 through 3. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne, considered him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That text is from the NIV, but I like how the Message puts it in a little different way. It says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. Now he's there in a place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline in your souls. I like that, adrenaline in your souls. Today we're looking at running the race that God has set before us. We all have the race. We all have a finish line, that, like the bucket over there. We all have a finish line. We're all, the finish line is at the end if we're believers, we all get to heaven and hopefully we'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. We all have that path. This portion of scripture is a prime example of the Bible being instruction, life instruction for us. So many times people go, what's the Bible good for? I don't understand the Bible. It's a bunch of, you know, lineages. It's a bunch of numbers. It's a bunch of this, a bunch of that. It doesn't make sense to me. But this scripture right here is a perfect example of instruction for us. It's of how to live our life. Let's look at verse 1 and break it down. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. What does this mean? Does it mean that a big fluffy cloud in the sky with a bunch of people on it follows us wherever we go? That'd be really weird and awkward. But it doesn't mean that. It's referring to all the things mentioned in chapter 11. He's talking about all the people that have gone before us and all the people around us now. When I hear the word veterans or trailblazers or you know, the people that's gone before us, I think of people maybe like soldiers that hit the beaches of Normandy or maybe Armstrong landing on the moon or Martin Luther King Jr., Amelia Earhart, or Billy Graham, you know, big, important people that's gone on and done some amazing things. But in our mind right now, we could probably all think of people in our lives that maybe in your family, maybe in this church, maybe in this community that hasn't made an impact on you for the cause of Christ. Probably as you're sitting there now, that have passed on, that's in the presence of Jesus, that made an impact on you. I could think of tons of people that made an impact on me when I was a teenager, and it's because I'm here today because of it. It's important that we remember the Christians that have came before us. We need to use this to spur this on for our walk for Christ. We need to remember there have been ones that have gone before us to be here. For example, Roxanne and I are, example is, I feel like Roxanne and I are, we talk about this some, is that we are completely and humbly realized and are very extremely thankful for every person that has made it possible or made it possible for YFC and the center to be here in Hayward. Because if it wasn't for what happened previously in the years and decades before, we wouldn't be here being able to reach students for Christ. That was the cloud of witnesses that came before and are still here that we're doing what we're doing now. There's people that have been a part of your lives, that are still a part of your lives, that went before, that are allowing you to do what you're doing now for the cause of Christ, that are spurring you on, that are cheering you on, that might be around you now, that are cheering you on for the cause of Christ. Just like when I was at that track meet, there were people cheering and yelling and screaming their kids on, or their cousins on, or their nephews on. And we need to realize that's what we have. And that's what we need to be with to other people as well. So the question is that do we have a cloud of witnesses around us, and are we thinking about that, and are we trying to be that for other people? So second part is that says is let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Or the other version says, strip down, start running, never quit. No extra spiritual fat. No parasitic sins. I like that, no spiritual fat. I like that. Whoever likes getting food with fat on it, I don't like that. So these verses, we're supposed to get rid of everything that hinders us. You know, kind of like the orange, you know, get rid of everything that hinders us from the race. All the sin, all the junk that's in our lives. If you ever notice at a race, some of us have been at track meets before, some of us have been at races before, some of us watched the Olympics on TV. They're not running with much gear. They're running with barely anything. Their outfits, barely anything. Tank top shorts, their shoes, streamlined. They don't want anything to impede their ability to run the best race they can. As years have gone on, it's gotten sleeker and fitter and better because they want to do the best they can. When I was in the Air Force, a lot of the places I was stationed, I'd worked with other branches called joint assignments. And I worked with a lot of Marines and a lot of Army. Now, I remember a lot of times we would rag on each other, we'd talk about our PT, physical training. And one of the things that would come up would be running. And we would talk about, they would always talk about sometimes them having to do ruck marches. Ruck marches would be where they'd have to take a big old pack and be filled up with their equipment. Sometimes this pack would be 50, 70 pounds. And they would have to go through the field. They'd have to go up and down hills. Sometimes they would have to march in it. Sometimes they'd have to run with it. And it was at this point that I would say, I was glad I joined the Air Force. No, I had the utmost respect for the Marines and the Marines and the soldiers I worked with, because I knew that what they did, I couldn't. But I knew it was extremely hard, that when you put on that pack, that it was extremely hard to do what they did. It was rough, it was tough, but I knew that also that if they took off that pack, they could run a lot faster, they could do it a lot quicker. Just like when you run a race, is that if you don't have something on your pack, if you don't have something on your back, or you're not carrying something, that you could do it a lot faster, a lot quicker, you could go a lot quicker. Question is that what's weighing you down today? Roxanne was mentioning different things with the kids. So I want to list a few things. I got this list off of a document, and I kind of liked it. I was like, man, this fits very well. And I want to read it, and I think it fits very well because it's what's weighing us down. It's so many of us deal with different things. It's not just, you know, what sin are you doing? What's going on? You know, it's other things. It's other things that weighs us down in life. So other things that we put in our backpack and our rucksack that weighs us down, that slows us down in the race of life. It's not just things that we're doing that we shouldn't be doing or sinning or whatever. First one is a spiritual habit, sinful habit that's draining our spiritual strength. Maybe it's something that you know that you're not supposed to be doing that God doesn't want you to do. Maybe it's bitterness over how you've been treated and your unwillingness to forgive somebody. says here, unforgiveness is a heavy weight. You can't successfully run the Christian race with that weight on your back. And it says here, perhaps some friends who are dragging you down. Maybe there's a person or some people in your life with whom you'll never be able to run a strong Christian life. Maybe you need to sever those ties so you can run the race unhindered. Maybe the love of things of the world that keep you from really being totally committed to following Christ with all your heart. You can't run the Christian race and try to run the things of the world at the same time. You can't do it. You can't serve two masters. You can't put those goals aside, and they are slowing you down so that you can run after the Lord. Or it could be something good that you're giving too much attention to, and it's taking your attention away from the race that God wants you to run. It could be a hobby that's slowing you down, or watching too much television, or spending too much time on the internet. Any of these things that are slowing you down spiritually. We all deal with sin in our lives, but are we letting them control us and keeping us from having that close relationship with Jesus and keeping us from running the race? Are we letting those sins destroy us from relationship with each other, our spouse, our parents, and our lives together? See, there's different things that we put in our backpack that could be slowing us down. It could be sin, it could be good things that we think are good things, that are beneficial things. You know, it could be something that we're thinking is good. Maybe it's, you know, we're putting too much time in this one area. If we're putting anything above God, it's slowing the race down. I guess so, yeah. But if we're putting anything above God, if we're putting our spouse above God, if we're putting our kids above God, if we're putting the church above God, a relationship with God, then we're slowing our race down. It should always be God first, our relationship with God first, and everything else will follow. Third thing, run with perseverance. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Strip down, start running, never quit. No extra spiritual. Oh, did I already say that? Yeah, no fat. We have to run the race with endurance. We can't give up. Here's the deal. If you give up, you're not going to get to the finish line. I don't know how many videos I've seen of people running Boston Marathon or this marathon or that marathon, or even like military training, and they're trying to finish the line, because if they finish the line, they get a certain, you know, badge or whatever, and they're literally crawling to get to the finish line because they want to finish. Or I've seen videos of somebody being the last person at the Boston Marathon, and everybody else has almost gone home. There's no more crowd to cheer them on, nothing like that. And the last person finished like maybe 2 hours ago, but this guy is still finishing. We got to persevere. We got to keep going. I'm going to be real here. I'm going to be honest. Going to be open. The race is not easy. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not everything's fluffy rainbows and bunnies. Life gets tough. We all have issues. We all have things that we go on. We all have valleys and in our lives. But we got to keep going. With Christ, we can keep going with the race. Because there's a prize at the end. Says in Philippians 3:12-14, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focused on this one thing, forgetting the past. I look forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race, to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. That is why we remain focused. Fix our eyes. Another thing we have to do is fix our eyes on Jesus. We like in a race, we have to focus what is in front of you. Because looking behind is not going to help. Because if you keep looking behind, you're not going to move forward. If you look behind, you're not going to keep moving forward. It's going to slow you down. Earlier, I talked about being at the middle school track meet. I don't know how many times I saw people, when they were racing, they would look behind them, and they would get passed by other people. And so instead of placing third, they would place fourth or fifth. Instead of being second, they would get fourth. Because they were not looking ahead and keep looking ahead, they were looking behind and checking the guy behind them or the girl behind them. We've got to look ahead. You've got to face Christ. You've got to look forward. And I know there's stuff that distracts us. I know there's things, you have your job that distracts you. Trust me, I know. There's family situations. I know. Job gets in the way. Family situations, I know. My mom just had a stroke a few months ago. Stuff distracts you, you know. Sports, kids are involved in sports, school activities, distracts you. Your past. I'll tell you something. Jesus is bigger than your past. But keep your eyes on God. In order to run this race, Jesus must be in the picture. He must be your focus. Because if you keep looking behind you, you're going to end up going a different direction. Are you going to him daily, asking him where you should go, what you should do? Are you praying? Is he number one or just an afterthought? Are you just focusing on yourself? I think it's time that you look forward. I know some of you in this room, I know I'm not being insensitive. I apologize if you think I'm being insensitive, but I know some of you people in this room, stuff's happened. But Christ is not, nothing has surprised Christ. He knows what's happened before. He knows what happened at the beginning. He knows what's going to happen in the future. And if you focus on him, he'll get you through it. He'll get you through it. He'll carry you through it. He's bigger than everything. He created you. He created the world. He created everything. He's bigger than any situation. Focus on him. It says, because of the opposition Christ suffered for us, we will not grow weary or lose heart. It says it right in verse 3. We have to be strong. We can't stop. Pretty much what I said, we have to, in those days, we have to be tough. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. He gave us the Holy Spirit to give us power, to guide us, to push us to whatever circumstances. He gave us people around us to gird us up, to talk to us. It says in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I will remain faithful. 1 Corinthians 9:24, don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. I don't know about you, but I want to run the best race I can. I'm not even a runner. I don't like running. I hated running in the military. Did not like running whatsoever. That's why I joined the Air Force. Just to be honest. But I know with this race, I want to run the best race I can. Is it going to be perfect? No. Is all our races going to be perfect? No, but I know I want to focus on Christ. I want to try to do my best to throw off everything I can. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus, not ourselves, not on somebody else, not a Dr. Phil, not whatever else, but focus our eyes on Jesus. And when we start growing weary, we need to focus on Jesus. We need to go to Him. If we have stuff in our lives, we need to give it up to Him. So this is what we're going to do since it's first Sunday. Usually it's family prayer time. That's what we're going to do. I'm calling audible here. Is that some of you in this room, is that some of you guys in this room have stuff in your bag. Some of you guys are carrying around stuff. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's stuff you're focusing on. Some of you guys in this stuff, some of you guys are weary. Some of you guys are tired. Would you guys mind come up here for prayer, to pray for people? Gregory, here in a second, can you play the fourth song? Okay. Gregory's going to play the song, and when it's time, is if you need prayer, if you're feeling weary, if you just want to get some of that stuff off your back, I just want you to come up here for prayer, and I want you to leave here today, come out of these doors knowing that you can run a better race than what you came in here with. Hey, Gregory, go ahead and pray.
You are good, you are good. When there's nothing good in me, you are love, you are love. On display for all to see, you are light, you are light. When the darkness closes in, you are hope. You have covered all my sin. You are peace, you are peace. When my fear is crippling, you are true, you are true. Even in my wandering, you are joy, you are joy. You're the reason that I sing. Death has lost its sting. Oh, I'll run into your arms. I'll run into your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world. Forever.
I want to stick around for a prayer. You guys can, but let me close out with prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, so much for today. I pray, Lord, that you just let us release our burdens to you. Let us be able to run the race better and better each day. Let us focus on you, Lord. Let us lay everything down at your feet, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just give us a good week. And I just thank you again that you are bigger than anything, any problems that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, if you need prayer, you can, they're up here for prayer if you want prayer. So you are dismissed.